Hare Krishna. Today we are gathered together for this very auspicious ceremony. What makes anything auspicious is the presence of God. This material world is a place of darkness. The material world is inauspicious. It is a place of birth, old age, disease, and death, where all our attachments, all of our loving relationships are forcibly stripped away from us in course of time. It is a world that with every rising and setting of the sun, we are one day closer to death, where all pleasures end in misery, where health becomes disease, birth leads to death. So what can be auspicious in this world? The scriptures declare, Dukalayam Ashashvatam. This place is a miserable place because everything is temporary. The everlasting soul is seeking eternal happiness in a place of death. This material existence is under the supervision of Durga, which means prison. The entire creation of material existence is a big prison house where we are shackled by our own desires to try to enjoy. Yet on birthdays and marriages and wedding anniversaries, people have ceremonies trying to enjoy great happiness, ignoring what the next moment will bring. But devotees of the Lord understand how to actually celebrate the auspicious presence of God in their lives. Krishna Surya Sa Maya Haya Andakar Yahan Krishna Tahan Mahimaya Adhikar. That Krishna is like the sun and Maya is like darkness. In the presence of the Son of Krishna, all the darkness of ignorance is dispelled. So if we actually want to invoke real auspiciousness, we must invoke the divine light of the mercy of Lord Krishna. In this world today, people get married like sophisticated cats and dogs. I'm sorry to say it, but it is true. Take away all the ornaments and nice clothes and decorations and all of the formalities, and you find people are coming together just for the purpose of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Human life is meant for self-realization. That is the one thing that differentiates the human from the lower species. So anything that we do, if it is according to the will of the Lord, for the purpose of invoking the blessings of the Lord, that is real human civilization. But unfortunately, in the age of Kali Yuga, such qualities are extremely rare. It is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. You see, in India, marriages in the past ages were centered around man and woman coming together to mutually agree to take vows for service to God and God's devotees. Therefore, there was no such thing as separation or divorce, because it was a responsibility to Krishna. But in Kali Yuga, people come together for either materially motivated purposes or social purposes. Now, the more materialistic civilization becomes, the more the institution of marriage becomes meaningless. In the Western world, two-thirds of all marriages are divorces within 2-3 years. And as the generations progress, it's getting worse and worse. When I was young in America, I never saw a single divorce amongst my parents or any of their friends or anyone in our village. People took it as responsibility. But in the next generation, of all the people that I grew up with, every one of them have been divorced except me because I took sannyas. This civilization of the West is very rapidly infiltrating Indian culture. If you want the benefits of Western materialism, you get everything that comes along with it. We like American cinemas. We like American television. We like American computerized technology. We like American dress. Hare Krishna. Along with it comes divorce, drug addiction, alcoholism, and all kinds of materialistic miseries. A culture where it's practically taboo, or definition of that is, it's against the principles of society for a child to respect his mother or father. Marriage only exists as long as you are giving each other enjoyment, where sinful activity becomes religion, and where pious activity becomes irreligion. We see that this mentality is fastly engulfing the culture of India. The simple reason is it's Kali Yuga. It is the age where people turn away from God, or they turn to God in a very, very selfish, ritualistic way. But the principle of surrender to God and service to God is very much dwindling. So today we are witnessing a very rare and fortunate event. Our dear Parikshit Prabhu and Suman Mataji have come together today to make solemn vows of devotion to God as the purpose and meaning of their relationship and marriage. This is the actual culture of our Vedic system. This is the real tradition of India. Today people get married and there's all kinds of food and all kinds of music. The couple that are getting married don't know what they're doing. The rituals are just taken as some superstitious requirement. Marriage is a samskara. It is a vow to increase our dedication to the service of God in life. But today, if you talk about this type of marriage, people think you're crazy. They're more concerned with the social prestige and the varieties of food and ornaments and clothing and gifts and dowries and fulfilling the expectations of the people in our caste. That means Kali Yuga. That's all. Disguised with so much decorations, but it's simply Kali Yuga. The greatest need in this age of Kali Yuga is people who are willing to stand against the current of irreligion and materialism and actually live in a spirit of real devotion. To actually do things right in the age of Kali, you have to stand against the current of the materialistic ways of the world. Parikshit Prabhu and Suman Mataji are such heroes. They have chosen to marry in this temple because they want their marriage to be a solemn, earnest dedication to the service of God together. And therefore, this is a very auspicious occasion. It is a time to celebrate. To celebrate their good qualities, to celebrate the rare auspicious vows they're taking, and especially to pray to Sri Sri Radha Krishna to bestow their blessings upon them. The real function of love should be to help a person come closer to God. So we should pray from the core of our hearts that the Supreme Lord's blessings be upon them. They live a happy and prosperous life spiritually, that they could remain together in a very exemplary way, that they can find happiness in this world and give others that same happiness. Parikshit Prabhu, it is the duty of a husband to protect wife throughout one's life, to provide her her material needs, to encourage her and give emotional support so that she's enthused on the path of devotion. Wife should be protected by the husband by giving her the sense of the value of her service to the Lord. And by your own example and direction, you should show her the path of pure devotional service. In other words, you must protect her physically, emotionally, and spiritually. These are the vows that you are taking today. After today, it's no longer a question of what you feel like or what you prefer. You must hold to your vows if you want to actually live in such a way that you will get the grace of Krishna. And Suman Mataji, you are taking the vows today to assist your husband through all various circumstances of life. Whether he becomes a wealthy man or a beggar on the street, you must stand beside him and help him. Whether he's healthy or diseased, you should assist him and support him, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You should create an environment in your home so that when your husband comes back from his working, he enters into Vaikuntha. Try to create such a spiritual environment to encourage and enthuse him. Sita was willing to go to the forest to serve her husband Ram. And Ram was willing to fight the greatest war in history against Ravana to protect Sita. These are the standards that we strive for as husband and wife. You should practice the principles of humility. In marriage, in Kali Yuga, you have to practice great tolerance. The unexpected should be expected. Many adjustments have to be made day by day in order to keep Krishna in the center of our relationship. But if both of you always seek the blessings and guidance of senior Vaishnavas and remain faithful to each other, then in this very life, you will achieve the perfection of pure devotional service. You should be eager to serve and help each other, and you should be very eager to together serve Lord Krishna and the Vaishnavas, and be very charitable to the poor. The greatest poverty is lack of devotion to God. And the greatest charity is to give Krishna to others through giving of prasad, through preaching the message of the Lord, and through our good example in life. In this age of Kali, all these spiritual principles are made possible with good association and diligently practicing the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of God's holy names. The chanting of God's name cleanses the heart of all the anartas, or unwanted desires. The chanting of the Lord's names awakens our original spiritual consciousness. Thus we should very, very carefully follow our vows of initiation by regularly and attentively chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. On this auspicious occasion, I pray at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and all of our previous acharyas, Sri Sri Nithai Gora Chandra, Sri Radha Gopinathji, Sri Gopal Dev, that they may shower their auspicious blessings upon both of you, so that your auspicious relationship may bring great light into this world and into our hearts. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.